The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. Would everybody take a nice deep breath with me? You're going to die. Isn't that really nice to hear? Okay, maybe not. But it's true. It's true. And maybe it is a little bit nice to hear because there are so many areas of our life and culture where we ignore or avoid or deny that reality. That we are going to die. Each Ash Wednesday, we remember this truth. Ashes are placed on our forehead, and we hear the words, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. You come from the earth, and you'll go back to it." Life is short, and it is precious, and it only comes by the way of the grace of God, who breathes life into dust. You are dust. You're particles. Or even more particularly, we'll kind of break it down here. You are systems, limbic, respiratory, circulatory, skeletal. You are systems that are made of cells, hundreds of billions of cells. And every day, hundreds of millions of those cells die, and hundreds of millions of new ones are created within you. And those cells are made of molecules that are made of atoms, that are made of protons, neutrons, electrons, made of quarks, and other subatomic particles. And these particles are billions of years old. They're billions of years old. And maybe even more specifically than all of that, you're mostly space. The space between all of these particles. You're the energy that flows between all of these things. You're an intricate relationship of energy. Have you ever had an encounter or an experience that felt draining? Yeah. Have you ever walked away from something and been like, "Man, that kind of like sucked the life right out of me"? Maybe it did. Your energy. And these things exchange back and forth when we're in the same place because we're the same sorts of things as other things. So maybe you've said or heard someone say, "I just feel so connected to nature. It's almost like, you know, the world around me is part of me." Like, yeah, it is. Physics has done us this great gift of telling us that, like, when we gather together in a space like this, we're sharing what we're made of. Like we're literally sharing these particles with each other and the things around us. So maybe nature really has become a part of you. No one's quite really sure exactly what all happens in the space between, but something new emerges when we are gathered together and when we exchange these things with one another. So you are dust, but you are also so much more than dust. As author and pastor Rob Bell would say, you are an exotic cocktail of dust and soul, of spirit and bone. You're the dust, but you're dust that is capable of receiving the authentic, deep, active, willing to suffer, unconditional love of God that is freely given again and again. No matter how many times you tell yourself you don't deserve it, or how many times by telling yourself how great you are, you forget that you need it. God gives us God's grace again and again, and we are able to receive it again and again. You're dust that is capable of sharing this same grace and love with others by letting this energy of divine love flow through you. After all, you're this complex relationship of energy, so when the energy of God's love flows into you, it flows through you too and can be your animating force. Another way we talk about what we are as Lutherans, we say we're saint and sinner. You're a sinner. Confession and being honest about our brokenness and the ways that we're separated from God and one another is a big part of this Ash Wednesday liturgy, of our time in Lent, and really of our weekly liturgy as Christians. So you're a sinner. And you're also more than just your actions or inactions. As Brian Stevenson likes to put it, a person is more than the worst thing they've ever done. And you are a saint, but don't make your practice of your faith be all about you. Sin and forgiveness, death and resurrection are happening in you all the time. Think of all of those cells that are dying and being reborn. Saint and sinner, sin will use this epicoter in you together. And you are marked with a cross. You're marked with a cross tonight in ashes as you hear these words that we are faced with our mortality. And it's the same cross that you were marked with at baptism. Baptism where already you have died in Christ and been raised to new life in Christ. You've died already in Christ and have been raised to new life in Christ. So what should we fear? Or why do we have to spend so much of our energy ignoring the truth that we're going to die? Shall we fear death? We know it. And we know that death does not stop the eternal life and the steadfast love of God. We know that it's not the end of the story, that life is. And we know and will confess the truth of our sin, our mistakes, our imperfections, our brokenness, because they are not what and who we are entirely. Because in baptism, we are called beloved children of God. You are fearless. You are beloved. You are beautiful. So when you pray this Lent, pray boldly. Pray for God to reveal God's will so that you might join in the work God is already doing to reconcile the whole world, to repair the breaches among us. Pray for the world and for the courage and knowledge to make it safer, cleaner, more peaceful, and just. Pray for people, those you know and those you have yet to know, that they might know they are fearfully and wonderfully made and fully loved by God. And when you fast this Lent, fast daringly. Fast from harmful and hurtful words, and instead offer loving and kind ones. Fast from empty complaints and begin from a posture of gratitude for the gifts that God has given us, including the breath of life. Fast from always having to get a word in and spend more time listening and in silence. Fast from something you think you cannot live without, and be filled with the life-giving presence of God. Fast from always having to do something, and spend time being present where you are and with those who are near you. And when you give this season, give outrageously. Spend more time in conversation with a friend instead of rushing off to the next thing on that to-do list. Give to someone you wouldn't normally give to. Write a kind note to someone or send them a nice text message one morning for no particular reason other than kindness and love, because you have received it and you can share it and they are beloved too. Continue to give to the places you are already giving. Bring your in-kind donations for Helping Hands and consider donating an hour of your time or even 30 minutes. Or perhaps adding a monetary donation. Give outrageously to meet a need before anybody's even asked for help. Pray, fast, and give. These are the practices of faith that we do this Lenten season, not for a reward, not so that others can see us in the synagogues and on the street corners, or we might say at church and at the gallery. Engage in the practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, because these will fuel your life. They will connect you with God and one another. They will turn you back to the cross. And they will remind you of the promises of your baptism. Pray, fast, and give, not because it's all about you and how great you are. Pray, fast, and give because it's not all about you and how great you are. It's about God and God's abundant and steadfast love that is for you and for the whole world. Life is short. Now is the time of salvation, Paul writes. Do not take the gift of God's grace in vain, for you are dust and you will return to dust. But know this. God makes beautiful things out of dust and out of you. No matter how messy the dust is, God enters into it. God comes into you. God transforms dust and transforms us so that we have new and everlasting life and the ability to share that good news, to share God's love, to share in God's mission of reconciling all things. After all, we're all the same stuff anyway. And we are all one in Christ. We are all dust, and God makes beautiful things out of the dust and out of us.